Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and it reads, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Lord, please, please help me bring a word. Get my nerves in order. Get the words that you would have me in order so that I may say what thus says you, Lord. Not what I say, but what you want the people to hear. Allow us to hear a convicting word, yet not condemning. Allow us to hear a word of correction and a word that will take us from one level to the next. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. I ask for you to anoint your servant right now at this moment. If you don't anoint me any time in life, anoint me every time I stand to preach or to teach your people, to lead your people, to pray for your people. Anytime I'm doing anything for your people, allow me to be in the way that you would have me to be. Get rid of the frailty, the sinful nature, so that I may bring a word and they may only see you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to ask you a question in this sermon. Will you make room for Jesus? Will you make room for Jesus? Because you know we make a lot of room for a lot of different things, but will you make room for Jesus? When I was a simple product of Sunday school, I thought the manger, a manger meant a stable. I was well into seminary before I realized that a manger was a food trough for animals. Etymologically, manger is related to the French verb manger, which means to eat. Animals eat from a manger. No doubt Mary chose a manger in which to lay Jesus because its straw could make a relatively comfortable bed for a baby. The manger powerfully emphasizes the humility of Jesus. The King of Kings wasn't born in a palace where he might have been laid in a gilded cradle. He wasn't even born in a home as most children were in that day. No, he was an outsider from the beginning. One who rose, whose birth would have been embarrassing, even shameful for his parents. He entered this world in humility. One might even say in humiliation. Thus, we have a foreshadowing of Jesus' ultimate dishonor, not in a manger, but when he was battered and bruised and bore the burden of sin on the cross. The manger paints a compelling image of the theology we find in Philippians 2, 6, and 7. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Jesus was born in a manger. Talk about giving up divine privileges. Talk about humility. My goodness, he did this to be able to relate to his creation. See, God cannot relate to being tired. He cannot empathize with us being frustrated. He didn't understand feeling the need to cuss somebody out. In order to relate, he stepped out of glory, out of infinite time and space, into linear time and space, walked down 40 and 2 burning generations, enrolled himself in the flesh, and came out Emmanuel. God is with us in order to commune with his creation, in order to understand our difficulties. Hebrews 2, 17 and 18 says, "Therefore, in all things we had to be made like his brethren, that he might be able to be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted." See, if you've never been tempted before, it's hard for you to be a witness. See, y'all don't hear me. See, you wonder why God used the foolishest things of man to confound the wise? It's because the foolish things understand that they're foolish. The foolish things understand that they don't know more than God. Some people are too pompous. Some people are too dignified. And some people are too perfect to be used by God. Come on, somebody. I'm not saying mess up, but some of us can't relate. Jesus himself, when he was God, said, "You know what? I can't relate to the people. I don't know why they're going crazy down there. I don't know why they sinning. Let me enroll myself in the flesh so I can relate to my creation." Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who was passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast for confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He allowed himself to be exposed to the things we struggle with in order to be able to empathize and sympathize with our sins and frustrations. Jesus was able to say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, when Peter, James, and John fell asleep, when he requested them to watch and pray. Why? Because he walked with them and fellowship with them, and because he was made flesh, he was able to understand the limitations of the human will. I'm amazed that my Lord came among us as a human being. Yet, how much more astonishing is it that he was born in the humblest of settings, with a food trough as his first bed. All praise be to you, Lord Jesus, because you were willing to humble yourself for my sake and our sake. This is why we don't have to worry when we go through life as outcasts. Jesus himself came into the world as an outcast, to ensure that he could relate to everybody. He was born in Bethlehem as a Palestinian Jew, a half-breed. He grew up in the lowest of the cities, both geographically and financially. That's why Nathan asked his brother Philip, can anything good come out of Nazareth? When Philip proclaimed to him that he found the Messiah that Moses wrote about in the manifested person of Jesus of Nazareth. At birth, Jesus was born in a lowly manger with no one to witness it but sheep and oxen. What a mighty humble priest we serve. So humble that he never forces himself upon anybody, although he is the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to this. Jesus' family had money. Come on, somebody. I need y'all to know that he didn't go to the inn because he didn't have money. Come on, somebody. See, we mess up with some of our Sunday school theology. Now, I love our Sunday school. Our Sunday school is theologically sound, so I'm not talking about Newbies Grove Sunday School. I'm talking about somebody's. If you listen, I ain't talking about yours either. I'm talking about the ones who ain't listening. That's what I'm talking about. If you playing the CD, I ain't talking about yours either. But some Sunday school don't teach you the right thing. See, we got to understand that Jesus wasn't poor. Yeah, he said, I became poor, that you may become rich. But if I was a billionaire and became a millionaire, I feel like I'm broke. I told y'all the story before how Ted Turner would hang around with Charlton Heston and be drunk all day because when he gave some of his money to the UN and then he got pushed out of his own company, now he felt like he was a $100 millionaire and wasn't a billionaire anymore, and he was depressed like he was broke. I'm like, look now, if you're going to kill yourself, just give me the money and I'll be all right. You feel me? But he felt broke. So Jesus was walking on the streets of gold. Jesus was being served hand and foot every day. Jesus didn't get tired. He didn't have a body. He was in infinite time and space. He sat in the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. Angels gave to every his behest and call. Anything he asked for, they came and served it at his feet. He didn't have to do anything. Didn't get tired. Didn't get sick. Didn't have to use the bathroom. Didn't have nobody attacking him. He was in glory. So yes, when he came to the world, he became poor for us. But they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh as a baby. Come on, somebody. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And see, we always think that it's only three kings and only three magi that came to him. But if it was only three magi coming to him, Herod wouldn't have been worried about it. Come on, somebody. If it ain't number three people in this church, when I go fuss at city council, they wouldn't listen to me. Oh, he ain't got but three folk behind him. But because we got about 1,500, I can say something. You feel me? So it's you the power, not me. And it was the power in the numbers. And so they said, we coming to looking for a king. And Herod said, here I am. No, not you, bro. No, we looking for the real king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we supposed to be fine, and we looking for the North Star. So we ain't coming by you. We just came because your soldiers said we needed to come by. Come on, somebody. They couldn't kill them all because they were so deep. Oh, see, y'all thought Puff Daddy had an entourage. Come on, somebody. No. They were rolling deep, and they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They bought three types of gifts. It didn't say it was the only three. So you got to look at it. If Judas was stealing the money from the treasury, come on, somebody help me out, Brother McClendon. If he was stealing money and they only had $10 and Judas stole $5, hopefully somebody knew besides John that he was stealing. Now, if John is the only one of the other 11 disciples that know he was stealing, you got some dumb disciples. But because he had, come on, somebody, he was not broke. He was a carpenter. He was working. He had money. He was not broke. I need y'all to know that. I need y'all to know that. Come on, so he ain't just rocking up and rolling in priest's house and he broke. Huh? Elijah, only time Elijah got in the palace was when he was teleported there. They ain't just let Elijah walk in the palace. God teleported him there. It's true. Read the Bible. He was out in the woods. They weren't thinking about John the Baptist like that. Now you out there eating nuts and berries. We ain't studying you. You ain't in our society. Jesus was not broke. Get that out your mind. When he said, I can foxes have holes and birds have nests and the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head, he was not talking about money. He was saying foxes. See, foxes only build burrows and houses and places to stay when they're about to birth kids. That's why they say you sly as a fox, because you can't never find a fox, because it's never in the same place twice unless it's about to have babies. Most species of birds do not build nests until they're about to lay eggs. So here, the foxes are on the ground and they're about to have a hole that they're about to make to reproduce. And then a little bit higher are the birds. And then they're about to lay eggs. But the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. He's talking about, I have nowhere to lay my intellect. I have nowhere to lay my thoughts. I have nowhere to lay my glory. I have nowhere to lay my faith. I have nowhere to lay my understanding, because nobody is listening to me. I need the Advent season to get you ready, to be ready for God to birth something in your mind, to birth something in your spirit, to birth something in your life, to birth something in your family, to birth something in your church. I need to get ready for the clarion call of Jesus, because he wants to give you his mind, but he needs to find somebody worthy enough to be humble enough to know that he's trying to talk to you. Jesus ain't studying no money. Jesus saying the foxes on the ground are building holes to reproduce. The birds in the trees a little bit higher are building nests to reproduce. But the Son of Man has nowhere to leave his spirit, because you're not walking by faith and you're trying to understand everything with your minuscule understanding. Stop trying to understand in your own mind and understand in your spirit. God is aligning this with we might go on and throw this in the series. God is trying to talk to you, but you're not listening because you think you're smarter. I hate when I try to tell people what to do and what I need, and then they try to tell me what they need, and really they can't hear what I'm trying to tell them, because in their finite mind of the small vision that they're trying to get a whole vision from me. I'm trying to tell you what to do, but you keep trying to tell me what you think I should do. You ain't the pastor. You can't see what I see. Stop trying to understand me by what you think I should be telling you. And that's how we go to God. We pray to God. What's up, Brother Rob? Good to see you, bro. But we pray to God. But we want the answer we want. We don't want God to bless us this way. You know, sometimes God will send your enemy to bless you. Do you know ravens are a dirty, stinking, stingy bird? But God in his audacity had the ravens feed him. And in the midst of a drought, God hit Elijah right by the water. Hold on. Pharaoh, the king, Herod, is looking for John. Looking for Elijah. It's a drought going on. Ain't no water. But he hid him by a brook. Hold on. Everybody is thirsty. Come on now, they ain't had no filtered water. Didn't nobody bring them tubes of water on their shoulder and drop it? They had no water fountain. They had no sink. It's a drought going on all this time. I know I done went to a whole nother text, but it's all this stuff going on, and Elijah is hiding in plain sight. Stop trying to make God answer you the way you want him to answer you. God will answer you how he want to answer you. Stop trying to make your mind be God's mind. God already let you know my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. So stop trying to understand what it is I'm trying to tell you. That's why he said walk by faith and not by sight, because your sight is limited, you minuscule. I'm talking about me too. Stop trying to make your mind be God's mind. I'm stopping trying to even make this sermon be my sermon because it's gone somewhere else. I'm about to close because I thought I was going to get on a plane and go home today. Stop trying to make your mind God's mind. God was born in a manger, in a food trough, in the point of the thing, they were looking for a king. And the reason why they were looking for a king coming in a gilded cradle, they were looking for a king to be born with silk and satin sheets around his bedside. They were looking for a king that was going to be born of somebody in some aristocratic position. They were looking for a king that would come like a warrior, but when he came as a humble baby, born in Bethlehem, born out of Nazareth, where nothing good had ever come from. If you look at Nazareth, Nazareth sits at the lowest point in the map. The first person to get blown away in a war would be the people in Nazareth, and that's where he was born. He was born the lowest of the low so he could relate to everybody. He walked down out of infinite time and space, walked through the aristocratic people, walked down the middle class, and came up a Palestinian Jew, a half-breed outcast, to make sure he could relate to you and you wouldn't be left out. Stop letting people make you feel bad because you weren't born the way. You weren't born rich. You weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth. In fact, you didn't even have a spoon. Stop letting people talk about your humble beginning. Stop letting people talk about it, what it is that you do or don't do. Why? Because God is the author and finisher of your faith. They're not the writer of your story. They can't edit your life. They can't erase anything in the story. They can't do no markouts. They can't add no more lines. They can't add no more tragedy to your life. God is the one ordering your steps in his word. He was born in a manger to make sure you understood you could be whatever it is you wanted to be. Whatever it is he called you to be, you'd be able to do it. He was born of a virgin to let you know you don't need nobody but him. You don't need no man to make you great. You don't need no woman to make you great. If God did it with a virgin, he was letting you know, if I did it with a virgin all by myself, I could do it with you. I was going back and forth with one of our members. They were telling me that they weren't doing their business because nobody was helping them that was going to help them. I'm like, do you know if I waited on people to help me, I would never be able to do nothing? Because people don't come help you until they see it going good. And then they're only helping so they can, after they hate on you, imitate what you was doing. Well, nobody encouraged me when we was doing the comedy show and doing it. Everybody was talking about I'm a heathen. Now the same folk got one. I don't look for nobody's support. I don't look for nobody's permission to tell me what God told me to do. What? I'm supposed to ask you permission. I'm just got to get that. I just got to get this out of my soul. I don't know if this is my sermon or not, but I'm just going to say it anyway. When I first got here, people saying, did you get permission from so-and-so and so-and-so before you did that? What is this, the mafia? I'm really supposed to go kiss the ring of another pastor to give me permission to do what thus says the Lord? I think not. I'd rather be an outcast like Jesus. Can anything good come out of New Beach Grove? Huh? Can anything good come out of Atlanta? Can anything good that wasn't homegrown come to Newport News and do something? That's how people were talking about me. People were making bets on me, talking about I wasn't going to last more than a year. Give me some of that side money. Hey, if I would have known it was going on, I would have placed my chips on me. Oh, yeah, and the Lord making all that money off me, betting, and people betting against me. It's a whole bunch of broke folk out there. You better tell people to stop betting against you. See, when you begin to make room for Jesus and you let him have the throne in your life, you can't help but win. Stop putting your Betty Crocker oven before God. Stop putting your football before God. Stop putting your man or your woman before God. Stop putting your job before God. I need you to make room there. It was not that they didn't have money to go in the end. You thought I lost my place, didn't you? They just didn't have any room for him. It's not that Jesus is not knocking on the door of your heart. You just don't have room for him. It's not that God doesn't love you. You're just not making room for him. Oh, shut it up. Oh. Are you going to make room for him? Are you going to move? Are you going to make room for the Holy Spirit to magnify himself in you? Are you going to move some lying away to make room for him? Are you going to move some stealing away? Come on, somebody. Are you going to move some of your attitude out the way? Are you going to move some of your selfishness out the way? Are you going to make room for him? Like the people in the end didn't make room, but you know who the end now? You are the end, because God lives in you now. He doesn't live in a tent. He doesn't live in a tabernacle. He doesn't live in a church. He lives in you. His Holy Spirit lives in you. Are you going to make room for him in the end? It ain't that Jesus don't want to be in the end of your body. It's not that he don't want to be in the end of your soul. You just got to make room for him. Don't make the mistake that the innkeepers made and put Jesus back in a manger. I need you to open up your heart and let Jesus in your heart so he can renew your mind and make you like him. Let those. Trying. See, when you make room for him, and you let him in your heart, you can tell every demon, you can tell every hex, you can tell every generational curse, you can tell every witch, you can tell every warlock, you can tell every sickness, you can tell every disease, you can tell every sin, you can tell every scandal, you can tell every gossiper, you can tell every accuser, you can tell every hater that Jesus became my everything. And because I made room for him, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper, because I made room for my Jesus. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Hey, my Jesus, you can live in me. My Jesus, you can use me. My Jesus, I need you to walk with me. I need you to talk with me. I need you to be my everything. Jesus, I look to the hills from which cometh my help. And because I got Jesus, I can do all things. Hey, because he was born, I don't need to go through the Levitical law. I don't need a turtle dove. I don't need a partridge in a pear tree. I don't need a bullock. I don't need a ram. I don't need a sheep. I don't need a goat. I don't need a pigeon. I don't need a sacrifice. Why? Because he is my sacrificial lamb. He is my blood covenant. He is my tabernacle. He is my feast of weeks. He is my peace. He is my Lord. He is my deliverer. He is my grace. He is my Passover. He is my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is my Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He is my Jehovah Nisi, my victory. He is my Jehovah McGinnis, my sanctifier. He is my Jehovah Shalom, my peace. He is my Jehovah Nekisnu, my righteousness. He is my Jehovah Rohe, my shepherd. And if I can't remember all those names, hey, Colossians tells me that he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if I don't know Jehovah Jireh, if I don't know El Shaddai, if I don't know El Elyon, all I gotta say is Jesus, hey, Jesus, Jesus, he is whatever I need, he is my I am, whatever I need. If I make room for him, he will show up and show out. I'm not going to make the same mistake. I'm not going to put him out of my end. I'm going to let him in the place of my heart. Let him sanctify me. Let him heal me. Let him deliver me. Let him anoint me. Hey, Jesus! Love you. Jesus, we make room for you. Jesus, you are my peace. Jesus, you are my king. Jesus, you are my shepherd. Jesus, you are my strength. Jesus, you are whatever I need you to be. Hey, let me tell you right now. You already redeemed. You're already sanctified. You're already delivered. Because before the foundation of the world, he was already there, hanging on the cross to become the propitiation for your sin. Hey, it ain't, won't he do it? It ain't that. It ain't, won't he do it? Is he already done it? He's already done it. He's already done it. Say yeah. He's already healed you. He's already delivered you. He's already freed you. He's already sanctified you. He's already made you victorious. It's already done. It's over. You already healed. You already healed. You already delivered. You already victorious. You already a queen. You already a king. You already won. Can I tell you something? When you turn the movie on, you already know Denzel gonna win. If you fast forward it, you will see. You already know he gonna come out victorious. You already know Superman gonna win. If not, it's gonna be continued. You already know Wonder Woman gonna win. It might be some drama, but she gonna come out on top. It's already over. The script has already been written. It's already over. You already delivered. Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there someone that needs to make room for Jesus? Is there someone? Is there someone that meets to make room for Jesus. You may come. Oh, we're going somewhere. Advent in your heart. Get ready for Jesus. And even if you have him, get ready for a double dose of him. Get ready for him to take over your life. Get ready for him to take over your heart. Get ready for him to take over your family. He's already delivered you. He's already freed you. He's already anointed you. He's already healed you. He's already freed you. Walk in your anointing. Walk in your giftedness. Walk in his glory. Walk in his majesty. He broke the veil from the top to the bottom, from the top to the bottom, to make sure that you understood that he broke it. He broke out the veil that he put up, to make sure that you knew you didn't have to go throw any Hail Marys in the sky. You had to go sit in a box to go talk to somebody. I'm not knocking anybody's religion, but I ain't got to do that. I can talk to Jesus on my own. Every now and then, I might have to call somebody. Every now and then, I might have to call Trustee Johnson to talk to him about somebody. Every now and then, I got to call Brother Roberts, but I can go right to Jesus myself. If he did it with a virgin, he can do it with me. He came through a virgin to make sure you understood he didn't need nobody but himself to birth something in you. Stop looking for people to help you. Walk it out. People love to be on a bandwagon. People are coming to you anytime you're winning. Once you start winning, you have all the help you want. But you got to start and know that if God did it with a virgin, he don't need nobody else to birth anything in you. He used a virgin to make sure all he needed was you. He used a virgin to make sure all he needed was you. He used a virgin so you wouldn't keep looking for everybody to help you all the time. Won't nobody help me? Somebody help me. Shut up. You don't need no help. I want people around. Shout that bubble shot. Everything you need is in you, because God is in you. I dare you to understand that Jesus did it with a virgin, that God did it with a virgin. I wish you would believe and know that if God did and used Mary all by herself, he can use you all by yourself. Yeah, two can set 10,000 to flight, but one can do 1,000. And once I get that 1,000 going, the help gonna come. Stop looking for help when God used a virgin. Stop looking for assistance when God did it with a virgin. Shut that up a bullshit. People always say, well, so-and-so didn't come to this meeting, and so-and-so, I don't care. If they help me, it'll make it easier, but it's still gonna happen whether they come or not. In fact, sometimes you can have too much help. I kept looking for the building, taking everybody on the board, taking everybody, every deacon, every trustee. And God said, the problem is, you're taking too many Negroes with you. You got that many pingers, somebody gonna bring something back wrong. 12 men with the spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Remember that song? When you use a majority report, somebody's going to always have an opinion of something you can't do. God said, stop grabbing everybody. I'm going to tell you who to go grab. He told me to grab Trustee Shaw. But it all started in my own mind first. Then once we did it, other people started getting on board. Folk that were mad and left came back. Why? Because we winning. Don't look, don't turn red. I'm glad you're black. I don't want to know who you are. But once you start winning. Sorry, man. But everybody liked the Redskins if they win. Everybody loved the Falcons when they win. Everybody was on the Falcon bandwagon. Everybody at the house, at your house, was on the Falcon bandwagon until they lost. And wasn't nobody sad but me. Because they were fair weather friends. God wants you to know that he's with you through anything you go through. And you just might as well call yourself a virgin. Because God will use you all by yourself. Just like he did with Mary. She birthed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you can birth the vision of him all by yourself. But you got to learn how to walk in faith with him in the name of Jesus. Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You may come right now. Is there one that needs a church home? You may come. You may say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You may come right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you right now to cover each and every person in this house. Show them, Lord, that you can use them all by yourself. You can anoint them all by yourself. God is looking for somebody that will understand that he can do it with them all by themselves. Yes, two can set 10,000, but he need that one to do the 1,000. He'll bring you your help, but start doing it on your own. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, whatever God has for you, it shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. Now may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts, time out. Before you leave, again, you can sign up for the after school program outside. We want to make sure we keep our kids safe.